I tell you what, it's been good to be here in God's house tonight. I've enjoyed all the singing, and I enjoyed that good special singing and the music tonight, just wonderful. And I'd like for you to tonight turn back to the Gospel of John. We preached out of John this morning, and tonight we're going to look at John again. John chapter 4 this time, John chapter 4. I'm going to look at one verse of Scripture tonight. That's pretty rare for me. I usually don't just use one verse to start out with, but one verse of Scripture tonight, John chapter 4 and verse 24. It'll be on page 630 in the King James Bible in the pew. I'd like to ask you one more time tonight to stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. John chapter 4 and verse 24. And here the Bible says, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Father, thank You so much, God, for the reading of Your Word tonight. I thank You for this service that's transpired so far. Lord, I'm asking You now to anoint me to be able to preach, God, just for a little while on the subject of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that You help us tonight. May You just do a mighty work in our hearts. It's these things I ask in Jesus' name. And amen. You can be seated. Well, coming straight off the heels of this morning's message where we looked at the works of the Holy Spirit. We looked at three works anyway. We didn't look at all of them. The Holy Spirit has so many works that are involved with what He does. And we talked this morning about how the Holy Spirit convicts and convinces and converts the sinner. Well, there's some things that lead up after that, some things that follow those works of the Holy Spirit. And tonight we see one of those. And so the subject really tonight is the desires of the Holy Ghost for the church. The desires of the Holy Ghost for the church. I want to look at seven things tonight that we find in Scripture that teaches us some things that the Holy Ghost desires of the church and the people in the church. Remember, the church is not a building. How many times did I have to say that? The church is not a building. This is a church building, but it's not the church. You sitting in the pew, those that are saved, you are the church. I'm part of the church. You are part of the church. Those that are saved are the church. And this is the things the Holy Spirit is desiring for the church, you and me. Well, let's remember that, like I mentioned this morning, the Holy Spirit is a person. Just as Jesus is 100% God and 100% man, He's God in flesh, the God-man. The Holy Spirit also is 100% God and 100% of Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the working of God in the form of a person called the Holy Spirit. Now, He too is not visible. You cannot see Him or touch Him. You can't visibly see Him, just like God. The Bible said in our beginning verse that God is a spirit. That means you cannot see God, yet God is everywhere. God encompasses everything in every place. There's no place where God is not at. David made the mention of that in the Psalms. He said, even if I go and lay my bed in hell, that You are there. So there's no escaping God's presence. He is a spirit. But the Holy Spirit, as well as God and Jesus, is part of that triune Godhead. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, I say the Holy Ghost most of the time, but we may say the Holy Spirit. It's the same person, the same attribute of God, of His Holy Spirit that does the work of God through men. Well, here we find that the Bible says that the only way that we can truly worship God is by worshiping Him in spirit. He says that they that worship Him must. Do you see that word must? Underline that. You must. He didn't say should or could or possibly. He said you must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So the only way that you can possibly worship God, any worship that God will recognize, He won't recognize any kind of worship that is outside of what He says in His Word. He said in His Word, if you're going to worship Me, you must do it this way. You've got to do it in the Spirit, and you've got to do it in truth. What does that mean? Well, the only way you can worship God is if you've been saved. You can't worship God outside of salvation. You may put on a pretense of worship. You may go through some kind of motions that you call worship. You can come in and sing, and a lot of churches call worship the singing service. Worship is much more than just the singing part of the service.
That's part of it. But worship is our allegiance to God, our recognition of God, that He is all to us, and we want to come and devote ourselves to Him, and it's from the heart, the truth. The truth means is we as Christians, we just want to honor and lift up and exalt and praise His holy name in the truth that He deserves. Not some type of hidden motive, not some type of flesh show. You know, a lot of worship today is turned into a flesh show. It's a place where you go in and you do your little dados and go through the motions and silly things that people claim to be worship. That's not worship. God says you must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Well, if the Spirit moves you to do something that may be out of the ordinary, there's nothing wrong with that. But people that purposely do things to try to appear they're worshiping in some kind of spirit, friends, that's 100% wrong. So the Bible says the Holy Spirit moves inside of a believer immediately upon accepting Jesus as Savior. So when you got saved, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, however you want to refer to Him, He come and dwelled inside of you. He lives inside of you. He's never left you. If you've been saved, He has never left you. He is in you. And so He indwells within you immediately upon salvation. Now we saw the Holy Spirit convicted you. He convinced you you were lost, and then He converted you, if you got saved, into salvation. And then after salvation, He came and indwelled inside of you. He lives in you. And not only does He live in you, the Bible says that once He moved in you, that He sealed you with the Holy Spirit of promise. And He sealed you until, the Bible says, till the day of redemption. What does that mean? That means when you die or the Lord comes back and takes us and we meet Him in heaven, that is the day of that's the day that it all comes about. He seals us until that day. Then we no longer have to be sealed. He takes the seal off and we're all there together with Him. No need to be sealed after that. We belong to Him. That means the Holy Spirit, when you get saved and He moves inside of you and He seals you, nobody can take you out of His hand. The Bible says no one can pluck us out of God's hand. No one. No one. Nobody. You, if you've really been saved, cannot remove yourself from Him. So we, once we're saved, we're always saved for eternity. That's what the Bible says. And so He seals us. And so then there's things that He wants us to do. Now, like I said, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit's desires for the church. So once you've been convicted, converted, or convicted, convinced, and converted, and then you are entered in with the Holy Spirit, and you are sealed, then the Bible says we are saved unto good works. That's what the Bible says. We're saved unto good works. So how do those good works come about? By the desires, the unctioning, the power of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that now is your compass for life. When you were lost, He was not your compass. He wasn't in you. And so you did not have the desires of the Holy Spirit. But when you become saved, He is now your guide. And He has certain desires for you, being the church. And this is the first one we have. He desires to inspire our worship services. He desires to inspire our worship services. Listen to Philippians 3:3. The Bible says, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. You see, there's no confidence in this flesh. We can't come in here and put on a flesh show and expect that to be worship. The Holy Spirit desires to guide our worship and to inspire our worship. How does that happen? Simply, the way that we have to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. You can't expect for the Holy Spirit to guide you in a worship service and to reveal to you things that He wants out of you when you're not in fellowship with Him. If you're out of fellowship with the Holy Spirit, you don't even know who He is. I mean, it's been so long since you've been in touch with the Holy Spirit, it would scare you if He ever spoke to you. And you have to be in fellowship with Him. Well, the Holy Spirit wants to guide our church services. From the moment we walk in this sanctuary, we should be focused entirely upon the Lord. And we should have been focused before we walked in. But when you walk in, your desire should be everything to exalt Jesus. We need to be praying and asking God to let the Holy Spirit guide us in what He wants us to do. You know that we can quench the Holy Spirit? Do you know that's against God's Word? Do you know God's Word says, quench not the Spirit? That's what the Bible says, quench not the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Quench not the Spirit. How do we quench the Spirit? We quench the Spirit when the Spirit starts speaking to you. You might have heard a song sung. Maybe as the choir was singing over here a while ago, how long has it been since you knelt to the Lord and told Him your heart's hidden secrets. Maybe something down inside of you started stirring and you started getting a little excited. You started thinking about those times that you talked to God and He's listening to you and you were so close to Him, and maybe He started stirring you. Maybe He was compelling you to have some kind of action about that. Maybe it was simply a crying. Maybe it's tears rolling down your face. Maybe it was lifting your hand up to heaven and witnessing the things that God's done for you. Maybe it was shouting. My granny used to be a shouter. Granny Spencer used to shout and ring through the rafters. Boy, it'd scare you to death if she started up doing that. I mean, as a little boy, she would start that. Boy, I'd jump. But boy, it sure did make the service something exciting. But the Holy Spirit would get a hold of her and she'd start shouting. Now, I can remember hearing the men sitting in the men's amen section, buddy, and they would ring the rafters with the amens. Because the Holy Spirit was giving them unction to agree with the pastor, agree with the preacher, agree with the man of God, agree with God's Word, and say, amen! That's the Holy Spirit giving you encouragement to worship Him. So what do we do when we say, I'm not saying nothing. God, are you sure you want me to say amen? Shout? I've never shouted. Jump up? I've never done that. I would never do such a thing. Well, you know what you did when you did that? You quenched the Holy Spirit. And you know what you did when you did that? You quenched the service. You made the service all of a sudden turn from something it could have been, something that could have magnified and glorified God and exalted Him, into something dead and dry and cold and something He couldn't work with. When you quench the Spirit, that's what happens. You run Him off. Oh, He's still down inside of you. But that power, that working of the Holy Spirit, we quenched it. No longer is it going to do anything for you now. Secondly, the Holy Spirit desires to aid in our singing services. To aid in our singing. This is a very important one to me because you know how much I love music. You know how much I love singing. I love instrumentals, I love soloists, I love choruses, I love quartets, I love congregationals and choirs. I love music. I love it dearly. But Ephesians 5:18 says this, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." You know, there's nothing worse in a church service than someone getting up in their own power, not being led by the Spirit of God to get up and sing a song. There's nothing worse than that. Oh, they may sing beautiful. They may hit every note. They may be a perfectionist in singing. But if they get up under their own power, God's not been speaking to them that week or even in that minute or that hour that they've been sitting here in the church, and God's not ever gave them the unction to get up and sing, but they want to get up and do it anyway. They want to get up just because they think they may sing good or something. Friends, there's nothing worse than that. That's a quenching of the Spirit. We should be led in our singing of the songs. When we sing these songs and they have such deep meaning to them. Did you listen to the words in those songs we were singing? Jesus Christ is all I need. All I need, all I need. Friends, there's so meaning in those songs. And those draws, they stir the waters of our soul. They prepare us for the preaching of God's Word. That's what they do. And the Holy Spirit's desire is to aid in those singing services. So what we must do, we must pray and say, God, guide us in the music today. How would You help me be able to help this service? How can I lift up Your name in some kind of musical way? God, would You have me sing a special song? You know, I give everybody an opportunity every service to sing. If God's been talking to you and you keep thinking, boy, I ought to get up there and sing. I feel like God wants me to sing. But you don't do it. You're quenching the Spirit. You should get up and sing that song, regardless of what you may think. And let me tell you this. When I was a younger Christian and not so mature in my Christianity, I had the wrong view of the music program in the church. Here's my view. My view is a lot like most churches are. My view was that you should sing like a professional. that you should know what you're doing. You should be able to know what time signatures were, and you know how to lead and how to keep the rhythm, keep the right pitch, and do all. And I would almost evaluate the singing. I mean, I would sit back like some kind of judge on American Idol, you know, and listen to it. And somebody would squeak or get off key or out of tune or sing the wrong words or forget the songs, and it would just fluster me. And I would sit there and think, well, they shouldn't even be getting up and singing. That's the way I used to be. Back before God got a hold of me and showed me the truth. And the truth is, God is not about your talents like that. He's not about your perfection. He's not looking for those that can already do everything and could sing in the opera houses. That's not His desire. His desire is that you come and you lift up that voice that He gave you to exalt His holy name. You may not sing good at all. You may not can hold a key in a bucket. Friends, I would rather hear somebody get up here that forgot every word, that they stumbled over it, they messed up, they sung off key, or even the wrong song. And if the Spirit's in it, I'm for it. I'd love to hear that. I'd much rather hear that than some perfectionist get up and show off all their, you know, their talents and try to impress people. That doesn't impress me. And it does not impress God. And the Holy Spirit is not in that. He is in those that worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I understand now that music in the church is not about talent. And let me tell you something. When I was a young boy, we went to North Acres, where my grandfather was pastor. We went to North Acres, and every homecoming, there was this one man that came. And you'll know who he is when I tell you here in a minute. And he used to sing. I waited for this moment all the time. This is my highlight. It was the highlight of the homecoming. You know who he is. He's been here. His name's Ray Dockery. Everybody know who Ray Dockery is? Little blind man. Now, Ray Dockery, he may not be a professional singer. He's just a little old blind man, been blind all of his life as far as I know. But he would get up in the homecoming service when we'd have the singing. And he would get up there and he would sing from his heart. Couldn't see a thing in front of him. But he would sing that song. He would sing those songs about how God had blessed him. And he'd start crying and he'd start laughing. And he may not have been the perfect singer, but he was the highlight of the service for me. I mean, it meant everything to hear Ray Dockery get up and sing. You know he still does that. You know, I heard him not long ago at a church, got up and sung in that same little voice he has and lifted up the Lord's name. Ray Dockery had so much spirit in him. I'd listen to him more than anybody. If the Kingsmen came and I knew they were at this church over here and Ray Dockery was singing, I'd go to hear Ray Dockery. I really would. I think the man is really full of the Spirit. But the Holy Ghost desires to aid in our singing services. When you start critiquing people when they've messed up, when you start saying, boy, they need to sit down. Friends, you're quenching the Spirit right there. If these folks are singing and being led by the Holy Spirit, whether they do good or not, God's in it. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit desires to appoint preachers and pastors. That's His desire, the Holy Spirit to do it. Acts 20 and 28 says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers." Matthew, I'm turning off this wireless mic. I don't like it buzzing sound.
Let me read that again. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God which He has purchased with His own blood." Now Paul tells this to Timothy over in 1 Timothy 1 and 12. He said, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry." The Holy Ghost's desire is to appoint preachers. Preachers are not to appoint themselves. Now, you know my story. I never desired to be a preacher. It was never in my intent to ever preach or pastor at a church. Never was. And when God revealed to me that He wanted me to preach, I was just like Moses, standing in front of that burning bush, making up every excuse in the world. God, you know you've got the wrong guy. You know I can't stand in front of people and preach. I can't even look people in the eye. My whole school career, I walked like this around the school. I couldn't look at a person in the eye. I still, to this day, can barely do that. I mean, there is something about me that is introverted. I'm backwards, they call me. Backwards and shy. There's something that God has just made me that way. I'm not outgoing. I'm not exciting. And I'm not a party pleaser and crowd guy. I'm not that guy. I stay in the background. I'm kind of shy and introverted. So it was never my desire to stand in front of people and preach. And I told God that. You've got the wrong guy. You've got the wrong one. What did the Lord do? He kept on until finally I submitted to the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost would get in and convict me of that. I'd sit on a pew knowing that I was supposed to be preaching. Knowing that I was supposed to get up and open up God's Word and tell people what God said. But I had no confidence in me. No confidence at all. Until finally I followed the leadership of the Holy Spirit and I said, God, I will do this. If that's what you want me to do, I'll get up and do it. No matter, I'm going to make the biggest flop of a preacher you've ever seen. And I got up and started preaching. Friends, I found that there was something different about me when I stood behind the pulpit. There was something that happened to me when I opened up God's Word and started preaching God's Word. You know what that was? It was the Holy Spirit. I did not have it in me. I still don't have it in me. I still can't stand up here and preach in my own power. It's impossible for me. I can't look at you in this congregation in my own power. But the Holy Spirit can do that. The Holy Spirit can guide me and allow me to speak without stuttering. Allow me to be able to preach God's Word without falling on my face. So the Holy Spirit appoints preachers. There's way too many self-appointed preachers today. Too many of those. Today, men think they can go to a Bible college and become a preacher. And you can. You can do that. But unless you've been appointed by God through the Holy Ghost, your preaching is in vain. Too many today are doing that and going down that road. I don't know why. If it's for the prestige, it's for the attention, whatever it may be. But too many men are doing that today. I can name you five men that I personally know that says they were called of God to preach the Word. And I'm talking, this has been years now since I've heard this from all five of these men. None of those men are preaching the Word of God today. All five of them have walked away from the pulpit. They don't preach. In fact, I think there's only one of those that even go to church. Out of these men that claim they were called by God, they were not called by God to preach, or they'd be preaching. God does not uncall you to preach. Oh, you may go through some struggles. You may not be able to preach at times. You may be going through health problems. You might disqualify yourself in the ministry. But God does not uncall you to preach. If God has called you to preach, you can't help but preach. I can verify to that fact. When I wasn't in a church somewhere preaching or pastoring, I was out in the field preaching to cows. I was in the car preaching to people on the interstate. I was preaching because I couldn't help it. Because God was leading me through the Holy Spirit to preach. So God anoints and appoints preachers, which my next point is the Holy Ghost desires to anoint preachers. The Holy Ghost desires to anoint them. Isaiah 61:1, the Bible says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." And Paul said to the church in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2:4, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." So a man can only preach the right way when he preaches through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. When you get up and preach on your own, and I have done it, you fail. You flop. You're a miserable wreck. I mean, it's a mess. And you'll get up, you may get up and think you've got this sermon outlined perfect. I mean, you've worked on this thing in your own spirit and own power. You've not consulted God. You've not prayed about it. He didn't reveal it to you. But yet you decided you're going to do it on your own. You'll get up behind that pulpit and you'll feel like the biggest failure in your life. And you may preach and you may think you've done an excellent job. God's not in it. He wasn't there. It wasn't the Holy Spirit. You know, being in the ministry and two different seminaries I've been in, I have heard a lot of preaching. I've enjoyed a lot of preaching, but I've endured a lot of it. And I can tell you one thing, you can tell the difference between a man that's been anointed and he's preaching and a man who's been self-appointed to preach. There's a big difference there, and you can tell it because God will reveal that to you. The Holy Spirit will reveal to you when a man is not preaching in the power of the Holy Ghost. And I'll take anointed preaching every day. And even if it's bad preaching, if it's been anointed by God, even if they can't speak good, maybe there's stuttering going on, but if God's in it, I'd rather hear that than somebody that's polished and got their little seven-step sermon outline that's perfectly done that they've done a million times and they got it in their own power and preached. I'd rather hear that man over here couldn't hardly even stutter to get through it. The Holy Ghost not only desires those things for preachers, but He desires to direct our missionary efforts. Our missionary efforts. Acts 8:29, the Bible says, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot." Now, you remember Philip. He was that preaching deacon there. He was the man that was over there, and they were having a great revival. And God made him leave that place. And he goes out, and he meets that Ethiopian eunuch there in that chariot. He's reading from Isaiah, explains to him the gospel, and that Ethiopian eunuch got saved. And so he says that he was being led by the Spirit. The Spirit said unto Philip, Acts 3:13-2, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I've called them." So that first church there in Antioch, what did they do? They got down on their knees, they prayed, and the Holy Spirit said, "You separate those two over there for missions." And there's several other indications in the Bible that the Holy Ghost is the one responsible for sending out missionaries. Just as the preacher and the pastor must be appointed and anointed, so must the missionaries. Now, I'm going to say this, and it angers some people. And I'm sorry if it angers you. I don't believe in supporting these groups of people that decide to raise up thousands of dollars and send off 10, 15 people for a week to some place. I mean, thousands of dollars they do this and send off maybe 10, 15 teenagers, and they call it a mission trip, and they go down and have a vacation for a week. I don't believe in that. I believe that you should be a Holy Ghost appointed and anointed person to go out and to do missions. I believe God must call you to do missions, just like preach. We wouldn't let these people like this come up and preach behind the pulpit, would we? That's what we're doing when we send kids and things out to these mission fields claiming that, you know, these thousands of dollars we're raising for them to fly on an airplane and do all these things that's what they're doing. And I've talked to several of our missionaries, and I've asked them about this. And they said those groups do more harm than they do good. You see, they don't understand the culture they're going into. They've not studied it for years like the missionaries have. They've not learned the language. They've not learned the way that the culture is down there. That where when they come and talk to somebody and they see an American face and they say yes to everything you say. You see, that's what they do. You can go to building if you're American. You can ask them anything and they'll agree to it. And so our missionaries have told me, they go down and they knock on doors at places and they say, "Would you like to trust Jesus as your Savior?" "Oh, yes, yes." And then they come back and report all these people that got saved on their little trip. But yet these people have never been discipled after that. There's no sign that they were ever even saved. They're never, ever again spoken to. And so these people are still lost. But yet we've sent a bunch of people down claiming it's a mission trip and all this stuff. Well, I'm sorry if that makes you mad. I don't. My desire is not to pay some weekend cowboy to go down and have a vacation. I believe in supporting God-called, Spirit-filled missionaries. Now, we have talked to every missionary that we support. Every one of them has been in this pulpit and preached. I've listened intently to every single one that tells me that they've been called by God to go to the mission field. I've listened to every one of them. And every one of them say that the Holy Spirit has urged them to go where they're going. I won't support a person that tells me that they just thought they might want to go somewhere or they thought that looked like a good place to go. No. The Holy Spirit says, go. Because if you're truly called and appointed and anointed by the Holy Ghost, you're going to go where you don't want to go. You're going to go wherever He says for you to go. Do you really think that some of these missionaries want to be where they're at in their flesh? Do you think the Phillips family wants to be in Kazakhstan and one of the most dangerous places in all the entire world and risking their lives? Do you think they want to do that in their flesh? They want to please God. They want to do what the Holy Spirit's told them to. And the Holy Spirit said, you go there because nobody else is. You think that Justin and Danielle Sauter wanted to raise their kids down in Africa? You think that was their desire? He grew up over here in Maynardville. You really think he wanted to go down to Zambia and face all those difficulties down there with his family? No, but he wanted to please God. And the Holy Spirit said, go. And what did he say? I'll go. I'll go. So this Holy Spirit desires to appoint and anoint missionaries. Six, he desires to lead our visitation and evangelistic endeavors. Revelation 22 and 17, the Bible says, and the Spirit and the bride, that you, say come. And let him that heareth say come. And let him that is thirst come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So it's the church's work to evangelize. The church is the one to evangelize. First, we need to start in our own families. If your family's lost, you need to start there. And we need to start with our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, our community. We need to evangelize the world around us, even before we think about sending somebody over to another foreign country. It's the churches, the Holy Spirit desires for the church. He desires to lead us in these types of things, in what we should do to reach other people. Not only in foreign missions, but local missions and our own personal soul winning efforts. The Holy Spirit must guide you. If you try to go soul winning on your own power, it's a miserable thing to do. But when the Holy Spirit's there guiding you, He'll help you. Seventh and final thing, the Holy Spirit desires to determine all the decisions that the church makes. I'm talking everything from paving the parking lot to putting in carpet to painting the walls to what type of music that we will have in the church to what kind of Bible version that we use. The Holy Spirit guides us in those things. Every decision, every teacher that decides to teach should be led of the Holy Spirit. Every person that has an office in the church, led of the Holy Spirit. Everything that's done by the church needs to be led of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Acts 15:28, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Paul followed the Holy Spirit regardless of what other people thought, regardless of the circumstances, of the turmoil that he may go through, of what other people desired him to do. They wanted him not to go to Jerusalem in one time, and he said, I'm going anyway. And so he followed the Holy Spirit. And that's what the church must do. The church must follow the Holy Ghost in all decisions, everything that we undertake. We must be guided by the Holy Spirit. Those seven things. Now, there's lots more that the Holy Spirit desires of us, but we'd be here another hour or two for me to cover any more. But I tell you what, we need to understand the importance of being in tune with the Holy Spirit. Because that, my friend, is the only difference that you'll find in a Christian that you see that is excelling in their worship with God. You see people that are able to do things and you wonder, well, how are they doing that? How come that God blesses them and things like that? Because they're being led by the Spirit. But when we push Him away, when we say no, when we quench Him, and He won't work through us if we won't allow Him to, you've got to allow Him to work through you. The church must do it. And that's His desire. Charlotte, come up and play some on the piano. We'll give an invitation song. Now, if you have a need tonight, maybe you need to get a little closer to the Lord. Maybe you need to talk to Him about your relationship with the Holy Spirit. And see maybe where you stand, if maybe there's some work that needs to be done. Maybe you're dealing with a struggle tonight or an issue that you need prayer for. Would you come to the altar tonight as we stand? And Sister Charlotte plays on the piano. And let's pray together as we stand. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much, God, for this message tonight. Lord, I pray that it's spoke to hearts, God, that we've got an understanding of how important it is for us to follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost. And God, You've made it plain in Your Word of what we're to do. And You've made it plain what You desire of us. And God, if we'll just follow that, Lord, and trust in You, worship You in spirit and in truth, follow Your leadership, God, I know we'll be better Christians for it. Lord, I know that You desire that from us. God, would You help us do that? Lord, help those tonight in this service. If there's one with a struggle tonight, Lord, would You help them? Lord, would You help them? Thank You so much, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you need to come down to this altar for any reason, you come down. Let's pray.